different from what Tahoe crunched so happily nearby. She laid it on the pack in front of the bird, having moved his travel arrangements to the floor of the shed. The hawk picked the morsel up in his beak and threw it away. Getting the rejected meat, she offered it to Tahoe. The dog ate it and returned to his bones. Planting her hands on her hips, Dane scowled at the bird. She'd heard of captive animals refusing to eat, but such a thing had never happened to her.
"There's many a hawk would be happy for a nice bit of rabbit," she told him,
not even realizing she sounded like her ma.
"Now I'll give you another piece. Don't you go throwing that away, for I won't give you any more."
She offered a fresh strip to the bird, who sniffed it and turned his head. She placed it before him, and he threw it to Tahoe.
"He won't eat," she told Onua when the Khmer joined them.
"What's the matter with him? I never had an animal that wouldn't eat for me."
The woman crouched near the hawk, her gray-green eyes puzzled.
"Let me try. Maybe it's 'cause he doesn't know you."
"I've fed plenty of animals that never met me first,"
Dane snapped, cutting another strip of meat for Onua. The hawk refused it as well. Onua scratched her head.
"Try cooked meat. I have to ward this place. There are armed men all over the road, searching."
She walked outside the shed.
"For us?"
Onua shook her head and began the now familiar spell.
"Not for you, surely,"
the girl whispered to the hawk. Cutting meat off the spit, she cooled it with water and offered it to her patient. He sniffed it for a while, but refused it in the end.
"Maybe he's sick,"
Onua suggested as she ate.
"I broke my collarbone once, and I was queasy for a day or two."
"That's shock."
Dane rested her chin on her knees.
"I suppose that might be it."
"He's not just any creature."
Onua finished her meal.
"He may be a little strange to care for, Dane. Just do your best, please."
The girl awoke in the night to hear a quiet murmur. Peeking with a half-closed eye, she saw that Onua sat with the hawk, talking softly to him.
"And Ma said I was fair foolish with animals."
Rolling over, she went back to sleep. They moved on in the morning. Searchers passed them on the road, men on horseback and men afoot, but none appeared to see the bird riding in state on ponyback.
"I can't throw fire or heal,"
Onua told Dane,
"but when I hide a thing, it stays hidden."
For 3 days they pushed on. The hawk's eyes still would not focus, and his balance was poor. After some debate with herself, Dane lightly bound his claws to the pack he rested on. He didn't seem to mind, which bothered her still more. Even the mildest sparrow would have fought the ties. Her patient worsened. He refused any and all meat, raw or cooked. Their third day together, she offered him raw egg and then cheese. He ate both to her joy, but vomited it up later. That night, she woke to hear Onua chanting a spell over him, but it didn't seem to help. The Khmer still talked to him about human things, road conditions, the fare in Kriya, the doings of the Queen's riders. Once, after meeting the bird's eyes, Dane walked into a ditch. Another time, she fell over her own feet. After that, she avoided his gaze and resented it. Why couldn't she look at this bird? And why did she not feel connected to him as she felt with other creatures? His wing did not heal. The fourth night she stayed up with him, coaxing water mixed with honey into his beak. It did no good. The fever she had fought to prevent set in and began to climb. She woke Onua sometime after midnight.
"He's going to die. Not today, tomorrow maybe. I hate losing one I've nursed."
To her shame, she felt tears on her cheeks and wiped them away with an impatient hand.
"He's not right. He's not like any bird I ever met, and I can't fix him. Can we stop at a village or town and find a sorcerer who might..."
Onua shook her head.
Out of the question.
When Dane opened her mouth to argue, the woman said,
There are reasons, important ones.
She tugged at her lip and came to a decision.
All right, get some rest. I'm calling for help. Horse Lord's willing, somebody will be in range.
Dane was too exhausted to protest or ask questions. It was hard even to crawl into her bedroll. The last thing she saw was Onua, kneeling before a fire that now burned scarlet, hands palm up in a summoning. She slept until dawn, and Onua greeted her cheerfully.
I got lucky. Help is closer than I thought. Eat something, and you might want to wash up. There's a bathing pool behind that hill. They'll be here around noon.
They who?
Dane's voice came from her throat as a croak. Onua shook her head.
Wonderful. More secrets. My favorite.
Dane muttered grumpily as she found towels and soap. Since the day was warm, she washed her hair and took extra time to scrub every inch of her skin.
Why hurry?
She thought, still feeling grouchy.
They won't get here till noon, whoever they are.
The hawk's eyes were closed when she returned, and he was shivering. She warmed small rocks and wrapped them in cloths, towels, scarves, handkerchiefs. Carefully, talking to him the whole time, she cocooned bird and rocks in a blanket, hoping to sweat the fever out. After an hour of the extra warmth, he took some heated water and honey when she coaxed. Onua had worn herself out with her magical efforts and slept all morning. Dane had to content herself with frequent trips to the road, looking for the promised help. Cloud and Tahoe followed her, as worried as she was. The sun was at its height, covered by thickening clouds, when she saw movement to the east. She raced back to camp.
Onua, there are people coming.
The Khmer grabbed her bow and arrows. Dane got hers. They went to the road to wait. It wasn't long before Onua said,
It's my friends. The ones in white are in the king's own. They answer directly to King Jonathan.
Dane gaped at the company that approached. Mail-clad warriors on beautiful horses rode in four rows, their white, hooded capes flapping grandly at their backs. The earth shook with the pounding of their steeds' hooves. Before them came a standard-bearer, his flag a silver blade and crown on a royal blue field. Beside him was a full knight in gold-washed mail, his gold helm mirror bright. He bore a lance. On his left arm was a red shield with a device like a gold cat rearing on its hind paws. The knight's horse was larger than those of the white-caped warriors, though not as large as the chargers normally used by those who wore full mail or plate armor. It was as gold as the cat on the knight's shield, with a black mane and tail. Together the company made a picture out of legends.
Oh, glory!
Whispered Dane. Reaching Onua, the knight halted the warriors with a raised hand. His horse refused to stop and walked up to butt his head against Dane's chest.
You beauty,
she whispered, running her hand along his mane.
Oh, you pretty, pretty thing.
Laughing, Onua went to the war horse's head and gently made him back up. The knight peered down at the Khmer through his open visor.
Are you camped here?
Onua nodded, and he turned to his company.
Hakim, this is it.
A brown man in the front rank of the white-caped riders nodded and called out instructions. The result was instant activity. Men dismounted, giving their reins over to a few of their number, while others removed packs from their mounts and from the spares. Within seconds, they were off the road, erecting tents to share the clearing with the ponies and Tahoe. The knight secured shield and helm to his saddle. Dismounting, he gave the reins to one of the others, then stripped amethyst-decorated gauntlets from his hands.
I should have changed to leather. My back has been one whole itch the last mile.
He grinned at Dane.
The outfit looks nice, but it's not very comfortable.
Dane was very confused. Out of the saddle, The knight was 2 whole inches shorter than she was, and built on stocky, not muscular, lines. His cropped, coppery hair was tousled from being inside a helmet. Amethysts winked at his earlobes, stones that matched the color of his eyes.
"My wits have gone begging. Dane, this is Sir Alanna of Pirate Swoop and Olau, the king's champion. Alanna, this is Dane. Wait till you see what she can do with animals."
Dane stared at the hand offered her, then into purple eyes.
"The champion? The knight they call the lioness?"
"Don't tell me. You expected someone bigger."
Dane took the offered hand. Remembering her patient, she asked,
"Can you help? I can't fix him at all."
Onua took the champion's elbow.
"Alana's a healer and a sorceress. If she can't come up with something, no one can."
"Aren't you going to be sorry if I can't?"
the knight asked, as Onua steered her toward the ailing hawk. Dane unwound the bird from his wraps.
"He won't eat anything but a little honey and water, not meat or fish. And he's dizzy all the time."
The purple eyes looked at her sharply.
"How would you know that?"
Dane met that gaze squarely.
"I just do. I've a knack with animals.
Onua chorused along with her and grinned. Alanna lifted the bird with a care for the splinted wing. The hawk blinked, looked at her, and buried his head against her chest.
"He knows me. Good."
She carried him to a tent the warriors had set up and went inside.
"Wait here,"
Onua told Dane.
"Don't let these men bully Tahoy or the ponies."
She followed the knight inside. Dane realized she ought to pick at the strings so the smaller horses wouldn't disturb the big ones. Tahoy stuck close to her as she worked, and Cloud was on her best behavior. The warriors smiled at her as they set up more tents and built cook fires. A handful went to the nearby river with fishing lines in their hands. She would have liked to go too, but she couldn't bring herself to ask these businesslike Tortallans.
"Great merciful goddess!"
The shout came from the tent where Alanna and Onua had taken the hawk.
"Of all the gods cursed, simple-minded!"
Dane gaped. The man the knight had called Hakim smiled.
"The lioness has a temper. Sometimes it gets the better of her."
The knight stamped out of the tent. She had discarded mail for breeches and a white shirt. At her throat, a red gem burned like a coal in the fire.
"I can't see."
Her purple eyes lit on Dane.
"You, girl, come here."
Tahoy growled, bristling. He didn't like the knight's tone. Alanna stared at the dog and then smiled.
"I'm sorry. Dane, would you come here, please? I think I need your help."
Steering the girl into the tent, she said,
"Onua says you found him under unusual conditions."
The hawk lay on a man-sized cot, his eyes wide and frightened.
"How?"
There was something here that pounded on her ears, making her nervous.
"Honest, your ladyship."
"Alanna,"
was the firm interruption. She thought of calling the champion, the only lady knight in living memory, by her first name, and winced.
"I listened for him is all. I sat down and just listened."
"Would you do it for me now, please?"
Dane swallowed.
"But he's right there, Mum. Lioness."
"Turn your back to him, if that helps."
Alanna fiddled with the red gem at her throat.
"Listen for him exactly as you listened back then."
"Listening's fine,"
Dane thought nervously.
"You only listened before, and had no trouble, and the badger said it was all right. Well then."
Closing her eyes, she emptied her mind, letting her breath slow until she couldn't hear it. She concentrated on her ears. Outside, Cloud chewed on a clump of grass, thinking she ought to check on Dane alone with strangers. The gold warhorse shifted. He wanted to run some more. "There." A strange and distant voice, one that sounded like no animal she knew. That had to be the hawk. Was he muttering to himself?
"I hear him."
That sleepy voice was hers.
He's a prisoner. He can't get out. But he's just on the bed.
Hush.
Purple fires played inside her eyelids.
Call him, Dane, with your mind. His name is Numair Salmalin.
Alana, maybe Aram's better.
That was Onua sounding distant.
He's only been Numair for 8 years. He's been Aram all his life.
True. Call to him as Aram, Dane.
The fires evened into a steady purple light, warming her face like the sun.
Why?
Call him.
The knight's voice was gentle but firm. Dane sighed.
Aram Salmalin? Aram, come on. You're too far off. It's all right, Aram. It's safe.
Something behind her snapped, breaking her concentration. She opened her eyes as wooden sticks hit the tent wall in front of her. The hawk's splints.
Now look at this,
she scolded, picking them up.
His wing won't get any better that way.
She turned to show them the evidence. The hawk was gone. Onua pulled a sheet up to cover a large, naked man. He smiled drowsily at the three of them.
Can I have something to eat?
Dane's jaw fell open.
Where did he come from?
Alana bent over the newcomer, peering into his eyes. Onua grabbed the girl's elbow and steered her out of the tent.
Explanations later. There's a lot to be done for him still.
Onua, where is my hawk? Where'd that man come from?
Her knees shook. Onua put a hand on Dane's mouth.
Hush. No more questions. I'll explain everything. Later.
She went back into the tent, pulling the flap tightly shut behind her.
Later,
Dane muttered to herself.
Wonderful. Hawks disappearing, men appearing. Why not? Later.
She stamped off to look after the ponies, who at least would tell her things and not wait for any laters. Three. Spidrons and Meditation. Hedgehogs woke Dane as they wriggled into her bedroll, shaking in terror. It wasn't the controlled fear they felt around hunters, but the wild panic that made them run before a fire. She eased out of the covers.
It's all right. Stay here.
She dragged on her clothes and boots. She felt it now, heaviness in the air and in her mind. Not like the storm wings or the rabid bear, but there was a flavor in it that reminded her of the winged monsters. In the camp around her, the men slept quietly. No snorers like Granda. Onua was mumbling in her sleep. Tahoe was not with her or the ponies.
Stay,
Dane told Cloud, who wanted to follow. She fitted the string to her bow and checked its draw as she looked around. A light burned in the lioness's tent. The other one, where the man who'd been a hawk lay, was dark. The wood outside their camp was thick with fear. Tiny beasts dug as far into burrows as they could. The big ones were gone. An owl sitting overhead was almost mindless with terror. That was bad. Owls didn't scare. Tahoe sat at the edge of the trees, nose to the wind. When Dane rested a hand on his shoulder, the dog flinched.
What is it?
He knew only that it was bad, and it was coming.
Stay with the ponies. Guard them.
Tahoe whimpered a protest. Waiting for trouble to reach him was hard. Better to hunt it out.
Go on.
He obeyed reluctantly. A sentry nearby raised a hand in greeting. Looking past him, Dane saw another.
Do you hear anything? I think something bad is coming. Something wrong.
I hear nothing.
It was Hakim. He didn't take his eyes off the woods beyond.
Go back to your sleep.
There was no sleeping, not now. Checking the ponies, Dane found they were afraid, too. Beyond them, the horses were alert, watching the trees like sentries. The warhorse pawed the air. He knew danger was close. Wanting to fight it, he pulled his tether to see if it could be yanked from the ground.
"Not yet,"
she said, patting his withers.
"Watch. Wait."
She walked toward the forest.
"Don't go alone."
Dane wrenched around and lost her balance. A strong hand grabbed her elbow and raised her to her feet. It was the lioness, wearing a shirt, breeches, and boots. The red gem at her throat glowed steadily. A naked sword lay in her right hand.
"Easy. What brings you out here?"
They walked to a small clearing almost 30 feet away. Dane took a deep breath and made herself calm down.
"There's something close by that isn't right. I can't explain better than that."
The lioness scanned the trees all around them.
"I feel it, too."
She tapped her gem.
"This warns me of trouble, sometimes."
"Look!"
Her ma had said she had an owl's night sight. That was how she saw the rabbit in the clearing when someone else would miss it. Kneeling to lift the body, she found it was still warm. White light, Alana's magic, appeared over her hands. The knight touched the body with a palm and felt its warmth, then touched the red drops at the rabbit's nose. She sniffed her fingers.
"Blood? Its heart burst.
It was scared to death."
Dane was sure of it. Gently she laid the dead creature atop a nearby stump.
"There's something else, lioness. The big animals. There isn't a one within a mile of this place right now. Listen."
The knight doused her light and obeyed.
"Nothing's moving out."
A bat darted between them, chittering a warning. Startled, the knight and the girl jumped back, and a rope that glowed a sickly yellow-green dropped into the space where Alana had been standing. Noise overhead made Dane look up as she put an arrow on the string. A monstrous spider hurtled down at them. She shot it before she even knew what she fired at. A man screamed above. Black fluid fell onto her hand, burning like acid. She put 2 more arrows into the thing and jumped aside when it hit the ground. Alana was shouting a warning to the camp. Dane was about to wipe her hand on a leaf when something moved on the edge of her vision. She leaped out of the way, and the lioness moved in as smoothly as butter. Her sword flashed once. A powerful cut sliced 2 of the near legs off a new attacker, then twice, beheading the thing. It happened so fast Dane wasn't quite sure it happened, till Alana dragged her out of the way of the monster's death throes. Knight and girl waited, breathless, for a moment or two, to see if another giant spider would appear.
"I don't think there are more,"
Dane said at last.
"It felt wrong out here before. That's almost gone now."
Many jointed legs moved, and she knew the one she'd shot was alive. Gulping down nausea, she drew her dagger and walked around front to kill the thing. Cutting off its head was best. She had thought they were spiders, almost as big as she was, with bodies dressed in dull black fur. That was bad enough, until she saw this one from the front. Head and neck were human, its teeth as sharp and pointed as a giant cat's. It screamed with a man's voice, enraged at seeing the knife. Her mouth dropped open. A cry of fright and repulsion came out as a strangled croak. Her knife dropped from numb fingers. No wonder these had felt like storm wings in the night. They were just as wrong, an eerie mating of animal and human that had no reason to exist.
"Great, merciful goddess."
Alana came up behind her. It made Dane feel better to know the paleness of the knight's face wasn't due entirely to the light she had called so they could see.
"Have you ever heard or..."
"Never."
She turned her back on it, let it die slowly, and found a log where she could sit, shuddering in horror. Granda had told her stories about monsters, human-headed and spider-bodied, named Spidrons. A brave man hunted them best at night, he'd said. Their webs glowed in the dark. A hand rested on her shoulder.
Little girl, your ancestors are proud tonight.
It was the sentry, the man Hakim.
You are the best archer I have ever seen, better even than the lioness.
Alana nodded. She knelt beside the thing, examining it with a stick rather than touching it herself.
We're lucky you sensed them coming, Dane.
The girl swallowed, thinking,
You couldn't pay me to touch that, even with a stick. The hedgehogs woke me. They didn't know what was out there. I could feel something wrong was close, but I didn't think it'd look like this.
Wincing as the knight pulled the thing's head back by the hair, it was dead now. She added,
Granda told me stories about spidrons, but he said they were killed ages and ages ago.
Not killed.
Hakim's voice was steady, but his face glowed with sweat.
They were imprisoned in the divine realms 400 years ago by the greatest of shamans.
You mean they're gods?
Immortals and gods aren't the same. They just live in the same place.
Alana dusted her hands.
Like the Stormwings, Dane. They were shut into the divine realms at the same time, along with a great many other creatures. Griffins, dragons, and so on.
Dane swallowed. There were more of these? What if they were loose too, escaped from the prison where they'd been locked for so long?
Horse lords.
Onua had found them.
Lioness, what? They're called spidrons.
The knight's voice was almost matter of fact.
Goddess knows how many of us they would have killed and dragged off to munch on if your Dane hadn't been alert.
You killed one too,
Dane reminded her. She went to the clearing's edge and listened to the woods beyond, just in case. All around she heard creatures stirring, large and small, as they resumed their night's business.
I don't know if I'd ever come out of my burrow again.
Remembering an obligation, she glanced behind her. Hakim and Onua were going over the spidrin using sticks. Most of the camp had come to watch and to marvel. One of the soldiers was vomiting at the edge of the clearing, which made her feel better. At least she hadn't thrown up. She faced the trees where the bat had fled after warning them.
Thanks, wing friend. Thank you for both of us.
In the darkness ahead, a bat squeaked in reply. Dane smiled and went back to the humans.
It's over,
she told Alana.
The animals are coming out.
She felt suddenly exhausted. The burn on her hand throbbed. Onua put an arm around her.
We've both had enough excitement. Come on.
She steered her to their fire.
Are you all right?
She hissed in sympathy when Dane showed her the burn and got her medicines. Dane barely remembered having the burn cleansed and bandaged. She was so tired. The pain gone, she got into bed.
You're certain you're all right?
The woman was plainly concerned. Dane smiled at her.
I think so.
The hedgehogs snuggled in around her once more.
I'll have nightmares for sure.
Me too,
Onua sighed.
At least we're alive to have them.
She eased into her own bed.
What of him? The hawk? The man?
Dane pointed at the patient's tent. Onua smiled.
Master Salmaline slept through the whole thing. He'll be mad as fire when he hears, too. Spidrons are more his line than ours.
Dane said shyly,
Why didn't you tell me the truth? About the hawk?
A sigh came from the other bedroll.
His shape-shifting. It's a secret. Only a few people know, and we're not supposed to tell. It isn't that I don't trust you. I do.
He's a spy?
Only sometimes, when the king's spymaster can't send anyone else.
He was just supposed to get well and fly off, and I'd never know.
That was the plan.
There was a rueful note in Onua's voice.
I know now.
Yes? You planning to tell somebody?
Dane thought about that.
You just said it's a secret, didn't you? I won't tell.
Good. Now go to sleep.
No one left the camp by the river the next day. The men of the king's own burned the dead monsters and searched the woods for more. The lioness and Onua sat with their patient all morning. In the afternoon, they summoned Hakim and another soldier who carried a writing desk. Dane kept out of the way of the men. She wasn't used to being noticed and greeted by so many people. Her caution did not extend to their mounts, of course. Once she'd cared for her ponies, she looked at the big horses. Her favorite was Alana's mount, the young stallion who had greeted her so happily the day before. She examined every inch of him, crooning praises into his ear.
"I think the feeling's mutual."
Dane jumped. Once again, the lioness had come up unheard. She grinned at the knight.
"He's a beauty."
"His name is Darkmoon."
The stallion lipped Alana's breech pockets.
"He's spoiled rotten."
Fishing a lump of sugar out, she fed it to him.
"His grandame was my first horse. A fine mare, true to the bone."
Giving Darkmoon another sugar lump, she added,
"You saved my life last night."
Dane blushed.
"You saved mine. Purple eyes are very discomforting when they look at you. Or is it that she's got so much gift it leaks over to all she does?"
"Where did you learn to shoot like that?"
"My granddad taught me. Carved me that bow, too."
"You'd think, your size, you'd only be able to manage a smaller one."
Dane shrugged.
"I've always been a fair shot."
The woman snorted, but her eyes never left Dane's face. She toyed with the gem around her neck.
"3 times you shot overhead and hit a mark that moved in the dark. That's more than fair shooting."
Dane shrugged again.
"I practice a lot."
Alana grinned.
"I'll stop. I didn't mean to interrogate you. I've been so busy getting Aram's story out of him that I forgot. I just wanted to say thanks. You saved my life, and the life of one of my best friends. Aram wouldn't be here if you hadn't nursed him. I'll remember it."
Dane swallowed.
"It was no trouble."
Alana took her hand.
"If you need anything, come to me. A place to stay, money, work, I don't care. If I'm not around, go to my husband."
Startled, Dane looked at Alana's ring finger and saw a wide silver band.
"He's the Baron of Pirate Swoop. He'll do anything for you I would."
Dane gulped. A king's champion in debt to her? An offer with no limits, and she to apply to the lady or her barren husband? People like her had no business bothering the great and wealthy. And if Alana knew the truth about her, about what she'd done once, she'd hate Dane. She'd have to. The knight must have seen refusal in her face.
"Promise me."
Dane wondered if there was any way to get out of it. Alana had the look of someone who wouldn't let this go, however.
"I promise, lioness."
"Alana,"
Onua called from the tent.
"We need you for a minute."
"Coming. By the way, can you wield a sword?"
"Me? Gods, no."
A sword was a weapon for nobles. The lioness grinned.
"I shouldn't be glad, but I am."
Seeing Dane's puzzlement, she explained,
"If you were as good with the sword as you are with a bow, I couldn't take the competition."
She clapped Dane on the shoulder and returned to her patient. The next day, everyone rose at first light. Onua and Dane from habit, the others from necessity.
"You're staying here?"
Alana wanted to know. Onua spooned porridge into a bowl and gave it to her.
"Just for today. Give Arm a little more time before we go west. How about you?"
"I'll see the local magistrate now I have Aram's information,"
Alana explained, drizzling honey into her bowl.
"Once I get a writ of arrest from him, Cynthia's mine."
"So that's why you were so near when I called for help. Springtime, you're usually at Pirate Swoop. You were waiting for Aram?"
Alana nodded.
"He has proof now that Cynthia is dealing with Karthak."
Onua smiled grimly.
"I knew it."
The knight frowned.
"I'm sending word to the king to tell him about our visitors last night and the Stormwings."
She shook her head.
I can't understand why these immortals are reappearing now. We've had reports from all over Tortall, and from our neighbors as well. Also, I don't like it that they were on hand to chase our friend when he escaped.
You don't think it was a coincidence? Or does Cynthia have an arrangement with those things?
Dane winced. The idea of humans welcoming such creatures was chilling. Alana sighed.
I don't know. That's one of the questions I'll ask his lordship when I arrest him. In the meantime, I leave you to your travels. Don't let Arm overdo things. And it might be best if he kept from shapeshifting for a while. Not that I think he'll have the strength to try.
The knight finished her breakfast and got to her feet.
Time to ride.
With the consent of the man who tended Darkmoon, Dane brought the saddled horse to his mistress and held him as the lioness mounted. This time the knight wore a leather jerkin studded with metal rings instead of her mail. Seeing Dane look at it, she said,
I drew it from our spares. They always bring one in my size. It doesn't look as nice as the mail, but it's more comfortable.
She offered Dane a gloved hand to shake.
I'll see you again. If not at the palace, then later on. Take care of my friends, and take care of yourself.
Dane returned the woman's firm grip.
Safe journey, lioness. Give that Cynthia man a few lumps for me.
Alana laughed.
I hope to do just that.
She looked back. The men of the King's Own were in the saddle.
Forward!
Dane, in awe, watched them go. This was what she'd dreamed when Onua said they were going to Tortall.
Well, some things are different,
she thought as the riders retreated from view. Pulling the badger's claw out of her shirt, she polished it with a thumb.
She's shorter than I expected, and I never thought she'd swear or make jokes. She's a legend, sure enough, but she's so human.
An idea made her jaw drop.
If she's a legend and a hero, then anyone could be a hero.
Tucking the claw back into her shirt, she ran back to camp.
If anyone might be a hero, could I?
She asked herself and smiled.
No, not me.
Still, she mulled it over as she started on a pile of reins that needed mending. Onua joined her at their fire with leatherwork of her own. They worked quietly until she heard her friend say,
Look who's up.
Their patient stood in front of his tent. Someone, Dane assumed one of the men, had given him a shirt and breeches, as well as a pair of boots. She stared up at him. He was 5 inches over 6 feet in height, with broad shoulders and a well-muscled body. His mass of coal-black hair was combed back and tied into a horsetail to show a face that was dark and sensitive. He moved with the ease of a giant cat as he sat on a log beside Onua, but Dane suspected that he hadn't always been so graceful. As a boy, he must have resembled a stork, all elbows and knees. In his late 20s now, he had grown into his looks, and he seemed completely at home with himself.
How'd you find a pair that fits?
Onua pointed at his feet with the awls she'd been using on her tack.
There's tea in the kettle, and a clean mug right there.
His lips parted to reveal white teeth in a shy smile.
Thanks.
He poured and blew gently on his tea to cool it.
Alana witched them so they'd fit.
He regarded his boots with a wistful grin.
Nobody else had a pair even near big enough.
What about your own magic?
I'm dry, for the moment. Tapped out.
His voice was mid-range for a man's. Warm and a little hesitant. Nice to listen to, Dane thought. She kept her eyes away from him as she wrestled with her leather work. A pair of large hands came into her field of vision to hold the strap while she set the final stitches.
Thanks,
she whispered, blushing.
You look different.
Startled, she looked up into long, shadowy eyes.
What?
He smiled.
You were a lot bigger.
She grinned in spite of her shyness.
Seems to me you was a bit smaller now I think of it.
The strap was fixed. He gave it back and returned to his seat on the log.
I'd be dead if it weren't for you. You're called Dane?
She nodded.
I'm glad to meet you, Dane. I'm Numair Salmalin.
I thought it was Aram.
His eyes flicked to Onua and back to her.
Aram's my boyhood name. I go by Numair now.
Dane took the hint.
The honor's mine, Master Numair.
Then, because she had to know, she asked,
Why didn't you change back?
I was stuck.
Stuck?
When Cynthia caught me, his mage fed me drugs. I panicked and shapeshifted. I didn't remember I was full of all the drugs it takes to knock out somebody my size.
You're lucky they didn't kill you.
You're right. By the time you found me, I couldn't tell ground from air anymore. The food you offered? I didn't know it was food. Not that I was able to keep anything down.
He sipped the tea.
It'll be a long time before I take hawk shape again.
That's why you had funny eyes. And that's why you made me dizzy.
I wanted to ask you about that. Onua says you got sick, disoriented. I can't understand how. She says you don't have the gift.
Odds bobs!
Would all her new friends harp on that one thing, like Ma?
I don't see why this gift is so grand. It comes and goes. You can't do too much at once, and you need all kinds of rules. It's more trouble than it's worth.
She got up.
But whenever I turn round, somebody asks if I have it. I'm good with animals. Isn't that enough?
Furious, not knowing there were tears on her cheeks, she stamped off into the woods. Numair looked at Onua.
What did I say?
The Khmer sighed and put down her work.
Her mother was a hedge witch.
She meant someone with basic gifts, taught by other hedge witches, never hoping to be more than village healer midwives.
She and Dane's grandfather were killed by raiders in January. She wanted Dane to have the gift, not just whatever she has with animals. Fool woman kept testing her, as if she thought the girl would develop it overnight. I'd better go after her.
No. When she cools off, I'll go. You and Alana were right. She has real power. Not the gift, though.
He tapped a pair of twigs together, looking thoughtful.
It's wild magic, pure and simple. She's brimming with it. I've never seen a human with so much.
You felt it, then?
He smiled.
I felt it when I was a bird, half crazy and dying.
Onua sighed.
Be careful with her arm. She's hurting.
I will.
He rose, unfolding his length with a groan.
Use Numair, will you? I know you trust Dane, but there's no telling who else might overhear. I still have enemies in Karthak who'd like to know where I am.
Onua made a face.
You're right, Numair.
He grinned.
Come on. What great sorcerer has a name like Aram Draper? I have to have a name to fit my calling, don't you think?
All you mages are players at heart, I swear. Can't do the magic unless you have all kinds of robes and props and a big audience to cheer you.
She waved him off and returned to her work, smiling. Numair found Dane greeting a woodchuck and stayed in the trees to watch. The girl lay on the ground, her eyes on a level with the chuck's. The animal stood on his hind legs, chattering to her. She giggled, then offered a hand. The chuck snuggled against it for a moment. Then he chirped a farewell and trotted off into the brush. Numair came forward slowly.
He seemed to have a lot to say.
Dane was thinking about the chuck. How nice he was after the monsters 2 nights before.
Oh, it's the usual spring talk. Freshening up the burrow, getting nice-smelling leaves. I told him where to find some wild mint.
Her memory returned, and she felt her cheeks get hot.
Master Numair, I...
He smiled.
No offense taken. If you stop calling me master. If I'm to help with the ponies the rest of the way, we may as well use first names.
Is Onua mad at me? For losing my temper?
He shook his head. The motion popped open the tie that held his black locks, and it fell.
Gods bless it!
Dane came to help him look. By the time they found the tie, she'd forgotten to be nervous with him.
It's easier if you wet it before using it on your hair,
she explained as they returned to camp.
When it dries, then it shrinks.
Good advice. Your hair gives you trouble?
Oh, goddess, my hair's so dreaded thick I don't even bother with ties.
She giggled suddenly.
This is a very strange talk we're having.
He grinned down at her.
Boys worry just as much about their looks as girls do. We only hide it better.
Seriously?
She asked, delighted. Living with only Granda and Ma, away from the males of the village, she'd begun to think young men were totally alien.
Seriously, you should see the lotions I put on my hair to get it to behave.
He winked at Onua when they reached the campfire. Onua and Dane spent the next day exercising the ponies and practicing hand-to-hand combat, something Onua said a woman alone should know. Numair dozed, mended his spare shirt, or did exercises with the arm that had been broken.
"Is he up to the road?"
Dane asked during one of his naps. She kept her voice low. He was stretched out under a nearby tree.
"He maybe should ride, but he's too big for the ponies."
"We'll take it easy. Alana laid a slow healing on him to fix the arm and build his strength. She said in 2 or 3 days he'll be fine."
"Did you know him from before?"
"We're old friends."
Seeing the look on Dane's face, Onua said,
"Not that kind of friend. He goes for shapely blondes, and I like a man that likes horses. No, our hawk took pity on me when I didn't know anyone but the Queen and Buri. If he likes you, he's the best of friends. Horse lords help you if you get on his bad side."
Seeing that Dane looked puzzled, she explained,
"He is the most powerful sorcerer in Tortall."
Dane stared. A boyish man who talked hair ties? Looking over, she saw a butterfly hovering over Numair's long nose.
"Him?"
Onua chuckled.
"Yes, him. It takes a powerful gift to shape change."
Numair opened his eyes.
"You're talking about me. I can tell."
"He's vain, too. He takes as much time to dress for court functions as any lady, which is bad enough. But then he ruins his clothes sitting on the grass to watch meteor showers."
"But that's my good side. You really should tell her some of my faults."
He paused, then added,
"Then again, please don't. I forgot you actually know my faults."
Dane laughed. She could see the rest of the trip would be fun. The adults were arguing about protective circles when she began to think of supper. It wasn't fair to let Onua hunt all the time. Like her predator friends, Dane ate meat, taking care to make her kills swift and clean. Now she got hooks and line and told the adults where she would be. There was a big tree on the riverbank where she could sit and mind her lines in comfort, and Onua had a very good way of preparing trout. It wasn't long before her lines were baited and set in the deep pool under the tree. With the hard part done, she watched the sky and daydreamed, rousing herself only to greet the animals who came to say hello. Cloud found a nearby patch of clover and grazed, keeping her company. Tahoe joined them, looking disgusted. He lay down where Dane could easily scratch his ears. Onua and Numair were doing the sitting thing, not talking or working or paying attention to him. It bored him silly.
"What's the sitting thing?"
The dog showed her an image in his mind. Onua, seated with her legs crossed, hands resting on her knees, eyes closed. To that picture he added Numair, doing the same thing. A shimmering, pearly light gleamed around each of them, rippling over their faces.
"What's that? That light there?"
Tahoe didn't know. It was a thing some humans had and others didn't.
"Magic,"
Cloud said.
"Your dam had it, and some of the others back home. Not so bright as these two, more like a glitter. But it's magic, all right."
"Onua only does the sitting thing with humans that have the light,"
Tahoe commented, and sighed. The girl smiled.
"Find a stick. I'll play with you. Not here, though. I don't want to scare the fish."
Tahoe wagged his tail and hunted for a stick that wouldn't hurt his mouth.
"Cloud, do I have the light inside?"
"No,"
the mare replied.
"The light's only for humans. You may look like a human, but you aren't. You're of the people. The folk of claw and fur, wing and scale.
Impossible. Look at me. I'm pink. My fur is patchy. I walk on two legs. I'm human. Human all over.
On the outside. Not inside. Inside, you're people.
Tahoe brought a stick, and Dane went to play with him. Cloud was joking, of course. She was human. Ma would have told her if she weren't. They left their camp the next day. Onua set an easy pace, stopping twice in the morning to rest. Numair kept up without appearing to tire. Catching Dane's eye on him once, he thumped himself on the chest and said,
"When the lioness puts a healing on a man, he stays healed."
"Does your ma know you're this silly?"
He nodded, comically sad.
"The few gray hairs she has on her head are my doing. But,"
with an exaggerated change of mood,
"I sent her plenty of money so she can pay to have them dyed."
"I hope she beat you as a child."
The day passed quickly. Numair and Onua told stories about the people they knew at the palace. The man even juggled for her, a most unmage-like feat. By the time they made camp, she felt she had known him for years. Building their fire, she ran into trouble. No matter what she did with flint and steel, the wood was too damp to catch. At last she coaxed it into a tiny flame and held her breath.
"How does it go?"
he asked over her shoulder, and the flame went out.
"God's bless it!"
"What's the matter?"
"Oh, they must have had rain here yesterday. Everything's damp."
"Sit back."
She did as she was told, and the tinder burst into flame. She had to put large sticks of wood on it fast, before the fire used up the tinder.
"But you didn't point or make circles or chant anything?"
He shrugged.
"Some people need those things. I don't."
She gasped at his arrogance.
"Well, excuse me for breathing."
His laugh was full-throated and made her grin.
"What, did they have to enact fire-making rituals before anything would burn where you came from?"
Her spirits dropped.
"Things burned easy back home. Real easy."
She'd been having a good time while her family lay in the ground. Grabbing the shovel, she went to dig the latrine. Teeth dug into the mage's elbow, making him yelp. He looked down at his attacker, Cloud.
"Stop that, or I'll light a fire under your tail."
The mare squeezed a little harder and released his arm.
"It was going so well."
Onua was grooming the ponies.
"She laughed."
Numair rubbed his elbow. He'd gotten off lightly. Cloud had only barely nicked the skin.
"She'll laugh again."
Dane kept to herself, and the adults left her alone, talking quietly. When cleanup was done, they did the sitting thing. It was as Tahoe had shown her. With eyes closed and legs crossed, they sat, hands on their knees, breathing as if they were asleep. In fact, Dane went to sleep watching them. That night it came to her that Ma and Granda probably wouldn't mind if she had fun now and then. They'd been partial to fun, making berry strings or playing catch with the bread dough. In her packs were two of the dancing puppets Granda had made for her birthdays, the horse and one that looked just like Ma. The others had been ruined, but she had saved these. She got up in the morning with caution and sent the raccoon and the marten who had spent that night with her on their way. She hated apologies, but if Onua and Numair were angry, she would make some. Luck was on her side. Their grouchiness seemed to be normal morning grouchiness. All they wanted to do was drink their tea, eat their food, and get moving. Dane let it go at that. If they weren't angry about how she'd behaved, why remind them? They made good progress that day. Once supper and cleanup were done, Numair stretched.
"Let's go, Onua. You won't improve without practice."
Day knew what came next.
What's the sitting thing?
They looked at her blankly.
You know, what you're going to do now.
Meditation. It clears the mind and rests it. If you have the gift, meditation helps your discipline.
His eyes were thoughtful as they rested on her.
Would you like to learn?
I don't have the gift.
Was he going to start on that? He shrugged.
It's not only for the gifted. I told you, it rests the mind. It helps you get a grip on the way you think.
It helps you decide what you want and how to get it.
Dane scuffed her foot in the dust.
Is it hard?
Both of them smiled.
You won't know till you try,
Newmare pointed out. Dane shrugged and sat as they did, tailor style.
Now what?
Hands on your knees. Sit straight. Close your eyes. Let the thoughts empty out. For tonight, that's enough. Just let your thoughts go.
Dane heard Tahoe sigh. Now he had no one to play with. The next morning, they weren't far from their camp when riders overtook them on the road, Alana and the men of the King's Own. Dane was startled to see that the lioness, so friendly before, was now pale with fury. Darkmoon was as angry as his mistress. He pranced and fidgeted until Dane went to his head. He calmed slowly under her hands.
He's gone,
the knight told them.
From the looks of it, he fled the minute he knew you were safe. Curse him! Those dungeons of his...
I know,
whispered Newmare. He looked suddenly tired.
I don't understand. You searched?
We did.
Alana rubbed her neck.
His servants claimed storm wings came with a box like a sedan chair. They flew off with him in it.
Then they can be talked to. They're intelligent.
Sure they are. They talked to Anua and me in the marsh.
She's right. And they searched for Newmare in patterns after they lost him.
The lioness sighed.
Lovely. More fun. All right. We have to see the king. Come along as soon as you can now. Be sure to ward your camp at night.
We'll do fine. See you at the palace.
The knight and Hakim nodded, and within a few moments, the company was galloping out of sight. Four mornings later, Anua and her companions topped a rise, and Dane thought her eyes would fall from her head. Before them, a river halved a valley that cupped a walled city and more houses than she could count. At the heart of the valley, three bridges linked the northern and southern banks, and roads entered the city from every angle. In the west, the city broke through its wall to climb a long slope dotted with estates and temples. Above everything stood a huge castle shielded by high walls. Its towers, flying bright-colored flags, shone in the early sun. A small dome placed among them glowed silver like a giant pearl. Black dots like ants climbed a broad, white-paved road from the city below to scatter before the walls and stream in through several gates.
That's the palace, home of the most unusual royal couple in all history and their peculiar court.
I don't think unusual and peculiar are the right words,
protested Anua, and Tahoe barked agreement.
Do you live there?
Dane asked the man. He shook his head.
I live south along the coast. They have rooms for me here, though.
He looked at Anua.
Press on?
She nodded. Their road took them around the city until they reached a bridge over a deep moat. Here the palace wall was only 10 feet high. The gate was a simple affair of wood and iron.